Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
And today's episode of Life, Love, Faith, and Family deals with the difficult, sad, and evil realities of abortion. Some of the descriptions are graphic, and today's program is intended for mature audiences only.
Today is a special day in the nation's capital. It's the 53rd annual March for Life, an event where thousands of people gather, all ages, in Washington to rally and march against the legality of abortion. My guest today is someone who will not only be attending the march, but also someone who will give us an inside look at both sides of the abortion debate. Her name is Abby Johnson. Abby's a former clinic director for Planned Parenthood, and she is now one of the leading voices in the pro-life movement. Her organization, And Then There Were None, helps abortion workers leave the industry, finding healing, peace, and joy. It's always a privilege to talk to her. Abby, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Abby, it's a big week, big event in Washington, D.C. this week. The annual March for Life theme this year, Life is a Gift. I thought, what a great theme for 2026.
Mm-hmm. Life is a gift. Life is indeed a gift. Yeah, we need to be proclaiming that from the rooftops, right? Helping people understand that life is a gift from conception until natural death. So, we should be proclaiming that every year, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we should. Abby, interestingly enough, a lot of energy has been building this week. We stand for dignity and loving one another and coming together, helping try to deal with some of this divisiveness that's going on. And then we're standing for life. I tell you, I haven't seen this much enthusiasm in a while. But Abby, just what's on your heart as you think about and prepare for this day when you're going to be right in the middle of Washington, D.C.?
We are in a battle in a way that I don't know. I've been in this pro-life movement for 16 years now. I feel like we've been saying, you know, oh, we're in a battle. I feel like now we're kind of in the middle of a war, not even a battle. I feel like we're right here in the middle of a war. I feel like we're being defeated, Tim. I feel like we're being defeated over and over again. You know, gathering together and joining together, it helps us understand that we're not alone. You know, we're with each other. It's easy to feel alone in these sorts of movements. But the abortion rate is going up in this country. We're being told that we're winning, but the fight for life is so real. I think we're being told that the battle is, you know, oh, we're Roe's been overturned, and oh, that was such a win, and we really need to keep up the fight. And I'm fearful that we're moving on to other things, and we still have this war looming around us. You know, we're fighting for, you know, we're it's like we're moving on. Like, we overturned Roe, and now people are, they think we've already won. They think it's done. They think it's over. And my gosh, it is not over.
That's the complacency piece that settles in when you have a victory. It's easy to go there. Abby, if you step back, I think there's probably some of that real concern going on right now as you look at the country. People know that the midterm elections are coming up, and typically a president loses the midterm, the House swings the other way, and it's like terrifying when you look at where we're really at. the division has gone to a place where it's not come, let us reason together. It's not about coming and debating. And it's now, it's almost like coming to the fight, if you will, and it's a fight to the death. There's no come, reason, what, debate, peaceful, marches, etc. Does it matter? I think that's probably a little bit of the lament I hear in your heart and in your voice. And also you've got the abortion pill, which is now taken over, if you will, and I don't think people understand the ramifications of that. Abby, a lot of people may not know your story and why your heart is heavy, and I'd love for you to just share a little bit about your backwater, and you come out of the industry, you come out of the abortion industry. Tell us about that, and why, again, you see probably... And you're not looking through some rose-colored glasses. You've been there. You know the debauchery. You know what's really going on.
I worked in the abortion industry. I worked for Planned Parenthood. I ran one of their clinics. I was there for 8 years. I watched a 13-week-old baby fight and struggle for his life against the abortion instruments. I now work to help other abortion workers leave the abortion industry and come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We've helped over 750 men and women do just that. We've closed down 64 abortion clinics because of their stories, the things that they know, like you said, the debauchery that's going on inside of these clinics. During my time with Planned Parenthood, I mean, I helped to murder over 22,000 babies. I've murdered two of my own children through abortion. And because, you know, this is very real for me. I'm hearing the stories, what's still going on in the abortion industry. You know, I'm still hearing what's happening. These babies born alive, being drowned, being killed in these facilities. The abortion pill, I mean, it's flooding into our country. It's flooding into our states. You know, I live in the state of Texas, and if you listen to, you know, the pro-life legislative groups in our state, you would believe that we don't have an abortion problem anymore. But the truth is that now, since Roe's been overturned, and abortion is supposedly illegal in the state of Texas, we actually have a higher rate of abortion. We actually have more abortions in the state of Texas than we did before abortion was supposedly illegal. Before Roe was overturned and when abortion was still legal in the state of Texas, we had 53,000 abortions on the books recorded. Now we have over 56,000 abortions taking place in the state of Texas now that it's supposedly illegal. And that's because of the chemical abortion pill. Women are taking these pills, and those are just the ones we know about. I mean, honestly, there's thousands and thousands of more that we don't even know about. They're taking these pills. They're passing their babies into the toilet. They're flushing their babies down the toilet. And Tim, I just heard a story of a woman that took this chemical abortion pill at 24 weeks long, and she passed her baby, and her baby was born alive in her home. And the baby was still breathing. And of course, there wasn't any care for her baby. And her baby suffocated on his own lungs. And she watched her baby die. She had no idea the baby was going to be born alive in her own home. These are the things that are happening in women's homes, in dorm rooms, in public restrooms. I was watching a video of a couple in Florida, right? Florida, this pro-life state, right? They've passed all this pro-life legislation. I watched a video of a family that went to a hotel chain, and they walked into their room. They walked into the hotel room. Housekeeping was out in the hallway, and they walked in, and there was a baby, a dead baby in a trash can. And they walked out. They were shocked. They walked out and housekeeping said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We weren't done with that room. You shouldn't have been given keys yet. We weren't done. And the father said, "Yeah, but is that a baby in the trash can? Is that what I'm seeing? I mean, is that right?" And the housekeeper said, "Yes, we have a contract with the abortion clinic across the street. The women go and they get their abortion pills and they come here and they labor in our hotel rooms and they pass their babies, and the housekeepers are responsible for cleaning up the death, the babies, the carnage. This is what's happening." It could be any public restroom that any of us walk in. You could walk in and see a baby floating in a toilet. This could be any of us. And this is happening in all 50 states. And nobody's speaking out about it. And then, you know, we come to these events and I'm glad we come, and I'm glad that we march, and I'm glad that we say, "Hey guys, we're still a pro-life nation." And I believe we are a pro-life nation. I do believe that. I believe we are a pro-life nation, and I want us to keep coming, and I want us to keep fighting. This is important that we keep fighting, but it's like we're fighting against ourselves. We have to get control of this, and we have to start holding our leaders accountable and saying, "What are you doing?"
What do they say? Something like 63% of all abortions now in the United States are tied to the abortion pill. Is that true?
Yes. And now they say in the next 2 years, over 80% will be.
Over 80%.
We don't even need abortion clinics anymore.
So what are the numbers, Abby, then? If you think, just stepping back, people say the number of abortions were going down. You're saying it looks like the abortion numbers are going up.
They are going up.
And even with all the research out there associated with that, hearing of the horror stories and what is happening to women, and it's...
Over 50% of women believe they are dying when they're taking the pill. Over 50% of women believe they are dying. I believed I was dying when I was taking the pill. I thought I was going to die. I thought when I was laying there on my bathroom floor and I passed out from all the blood loss, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, I hope my parents don't find me."
Abby, talk to us about the younger generation for a moment, because the battle too is there. The women who are getting abortions are younger. We all know that. We're not talking about middle-aged women. They're not having abortions. It's the college-age kids. It's the younger women. It's the teenage girls who are out there. Speak to us about them. It seems like, Abby, that they're taking life seriously. When you go to a rally up in Washington, they're showing up in mass. What's happening? Speak. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
I mean, yeah, it is. It is, you go to the March for Life. I mean, today at the March for Life, you look out and it's young. It's young people out there. A lot of young men too, which is so heartening, you know. A lot of people think, you know, oh, the pro-life movement, it's a woman's movement. And we're not finding that, you know. It's a young person's movement. I go on college campuses. I have a campus tour coming out this year. And, you know, the students, they want us there, and they'll show up. But it is, it's a battle for young hearts and minds. I think we have an inconsistency problem, Tim. I think we have, and I think pro-choicers see the inconsistency problem. We, you know, now particularly, and I think the chemical abortion pill has really pointed out the inconsistency. So we have a lot of situations coming up now where we've seen this in the news, where men will slip chemical abortion pills into women's drinks and baby dies. Baby is aborted. And the pro-life movement rightly so, calls it out and says, that's murder. But then you have same woman, same baby, same drink, same pills. And the pro-life movement says, not murder. We don't want to charge that as murder. And the pro-choice movement sees that as inconsistent. You know, is it murder? Is it not murder? And the young pro-life movement sees that as terribly inconsistent. Is it murder? Is it not murder? And what I'm seeing as I go on these college campuses is a real a change of tone in the young pro-life movement. They're seeing that the older pro-life generation has this inconsistency that the young pro-life generation does not. They see the inconsistency, they're calling it out, and they want to change it. So I think there's going to be a change. I think there's going to be something new coming out. There's going to have to be. There's going to have to be something new coming out of the pro-life movement. And I think it's going to be led by young people. I mean, they look at me as old. I'm 45. There's going to have to be something new. There's going to be kind of a new movement that's rising out, that's coming out, and it's going to be led by these college-age 20-something, 30-somethings. It's going to bear out some real consistency here that we don't have right now.
Abby, we're fighting time, but you've got me thinking, and I want to go back to And Then There Were None. It's your ministry taking people out of the pro-abortion industry, and God's doing amazing work there. And then I've got in my mind the abortion pill and how everything's changing. All the tables are being flipped upside down. This is a whole different place. Abby, how should we look to the road forward? You said the fight is changing. It is changing. The battleground, it's very different than it was in years past. Yes, we've won Dobbs. Roe got overturned, blah, blah, blah. Got it. Things are returned to the states, we understand, which, by the way, is a nightmare in and of itself, too, because of what's happening in a lot of states, like, for example, in Virginia, where I live. How do you bow tie this? Because also, it seems like giving is going down related to the pro-life movement. Just a word of challenge, maybe a word of encouragement, too, in the midst of it.
I think people need to refocus. I think they need to get refocused. They need to stop giving to organizations that are fighting the political battle. They need to start giving to organizations that are fighting on the front lines. So these organizations that are, you know, pregnancy centers, you know, these organizations, I mean, there's so many organizations that are doing like content creation and, you know, political stuff or whatever. Look, we're not winning on that front. Okay, we're winning on changing hearts and minds. That's where we're winning. We're winning out in front of abortion clinics, reaching the women who are walking in, who are, you know, at that last minute going, oh gosh, maybe this isn't really what I want to do, right? Give to those organizations. Give to organizations that are worrying about salvation over politics. And stop thinking that we have won this battle. We are not winning this battle. And I think the pro-life movement has like, it's like we're kind of like, oh, squirrel. You know, we're looking somewhere else. We're worrying about the transgender battle. We're worrying about the LGBT battle, blah, blah, blah. All of this is tied in to the same root of sin, which is an attack on the image of our Creator. It's an attack on the image of God. It's all the same root of sin. And, you know, we can worry about all these other issues, but none of it matters if we are killing our unborn brothers and sisters in the womb. We need to refocus on abortion. And if we start there, I really do believe these other issues will start working themselves out. But we've got to refocus, guys. We're allowing ourselves to be distracted by all of these other shiny things, right? But we've got to refocus on the primary issue, the root. We are killing our unborn brothers and sisters in the womb. Refocus there.
Abby, your voice is really getting strong out there in culture. I love your boldness. You got a lot of courage to you. If people want to learn more about And Then There Were None, your ministry, and maybe a little bit more about you, how they can listen to your podcast, et cetera, where should they go?
My website is abbyj.com. All of my ministry stuff is there, my podcast, all that kind of stuff. And Then There Were None is abortionworker.com.
Wonderful. Abby, as always, what a delight to have you. On behalf of my son, Zach, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we salute you. Pray that God would continue to encourage you, strengthen your voice for such a time as this. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. Even when everything else is taken from you, your response is still yours. Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor and psychiatrist, said, "The last of human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances." This echoes Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, which says, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Clinically, this is called cognitive reappraisal, or our ability to shift perspective even under pressure. You may not control the storm, but you do control how you anchor in it. The next time you're hit with frustration, pause, name your emotion, then choose the attitude you want to move forward with. That, my friend, is where your power is found. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.